trust him, the more I love him. Nothing good for me he'll deny. The longer I know him, the better I can show him.
Glory.
I couldn't stop now if I tried.
Well, yes, sweeter, as the days go by. Lord, yes, sweeter, as the moments fly.
His love is richer, deeper, fuller, sweeter.
Oh, sweeter, sweeter, sweeter as the days go by.
Amen. You know, that's a simple little old song, but it ain't nothing but the truth. It does get sweeter as the days go by. And you know why you can say that? Because the older you get, the more you realize you really need him in your life. Wasn't for him, we couldn't even move. And some of us, we can't hardly move nohow. But aren't you glad that it does get sweeter as the days go by? Turn around, shake somebody's hand, greet them in the name of the Lord. Tell them you're glad to see them in church on Sunday morning. Play some more of that. Give me verse number 2. Praise the Lord.
Saved me, his good grace he gave me. He placed his love down deep in my heart. There's great joy in knowing to him I am going.
Thank you, Lord.
Never more from him to depart.
Well, yet sweeter as the days go by. Lord, yet sweeter as the moments fly.
Well, isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord this morning? What a time we had here last night. How many of you appreciate the word of the Lord? Amen. What a time we had. Amen. Praise the Lord. And what we're hearing gets sweeter as the days go by, because you know what? It's honing us into the children of God that we really need to be before we leave this old world. You had somebody come out here and told you how sweet and what a darling you are, and you just live any kind of life you want to, and you're going to be all right as long as you slip your tithing envelope in the little bags that they pass by. Just do whatever you want to. That's a hireling. That's a hireling. But we've got a real man of God. A real man of God. Amen. Not only is our pastor a real man of God, but there's men of God around this world that love this message more than life itself and give their life for it. I appreciate them, don't you? How we need to pray for the ministry. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. I'm going to let you be seated while we look at our prayer request this morning. Sister Martha Sacker says that this Wednesday through this coming Sunday, a group of cancer children and their parents and their siblings and a few volunteers will be traveling to Florida for a family trip for these children. There's a great concern because of all of the viruses and the flus that's going around. They desperately need for everyone in the group to stay well. Please pray for this request. That's a good request, isn't it? These children, cancer patients, let's just pray that the Lord would be with them and give them a real, real good time on that trip. I want to pray for Sister Angie Brown, has the flu, just really needs a touch from the Lord. I want to pray for a brother, Tony Ogungo, who has several needs in his life. The Lord knows all about those needs. We'll just commit them unto the Lord. Ask God to be mindful of that situation. Brother Carter Lawson says, remember my mother-in-law, she had part of her colon removed. She has also had two blood transfusions, and she is 81 years old. So let's remember that need today as we pray. Brother Gene Littleton says to please remember the family of Justin Rose in prayer. Justin was killed in a car accident this past week and was only 16 years old. A lot of you have read about that in the paper. So let's pray for that family, that the Lord would just gird them with his love. Also remember the family of Brother Gene. So let's remember those needs today. I want to pray for Brother Joel and Sister Lauren Yance. I have a fever, chills, and sore throat. So let's pray for their touch this morning. Sister Michelle Swafford says to please pray for me. I had some tests done. Pray that I get a good report back. So let's remember that as we pray. Brother Eugene Kennedy says, Sister Janet and myself have been having it rough for a while. We would appreciate your prayer, so we just commit those folks unto the Lord. Lovely family, we just pray that God would be mindful of their situation. He's able to give them what they have need of. We believe that, don't we? Amen. All the unspoken prayer requests, if you have needs this morning, so glad to have all of you in the house of the Lord. Pray you just enjoy this service today. Brother Daniel, if you'll come this morning, certainly glad to have Brother Daniel Nunley back. He's been in the hospital. Amen. Could we stand this morning? If you have an unspoken prayer request you'd like for this group to pray about, just signify by the raising of your hand. We know that God is able to meet every need among us, don't we? Brother Daniel, God bless you, buddy. Take these needs to the Lord for us.
Love you, buddy. Amen. It's good to be back in church again. Amen. You know, when you're in the hospital, it kind of gets a... You just won't get out of that place. You don't want to stay there long. And ain't no place like coming to church. Amen. Brother Horn always says, it's good to be back in church. Amen. Let's pray for these needs this morning. And I want you, I have a sister-in-law that's in the last stages of cancer. And we'd like for you to pray for her this morning up in Albion, Pennsylvania, up next to Yuri. But you know, there's no distance in prayer. Amen. He's the same God here today in Yuri, Pennsylvania, or in Canada, wherever you're from. He's still God. So let's pray for these needs. Heavenly Father, how thankful we are to be in this service this morning. God, we know that we could be lost. We could be in grave somewhere, Lord Jesus. Hey, not been for your mercy. For God, we know that it's you that keep us from day to day. God, we thank you for the service that we was in last night. Thank you for Brother Donnie, Lord Jesus. Thank you for the word that goes forth from this pulpit. God, we pray now that you'll move again for us today. God, we pray for Brother Darrell and Brother David, those out on the field, God, preaching the gospel. Pray that you'll be with them. God, we bring each request, each need before your throne. God, we lift them up before you, knowing, God, that you're a healer, that you're a savior, a deliverer. God, we cast them into your care. Heavenly Father, we pray now that you'll bless this service. God, those over the internet, wherever they may be, I pray that you'll move for them, Heavenly Father. We pray now that you'll take charge. Bless the singers. Bless every part of this service. We'll give you the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Ushers, if you'd like to come at this time. We'll receive the morning tithe and offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're a visitor here this morning, and we do have several visitors, we certainly want to welcome you. Glad to have you here. All those that would be streaming the service today, we pray this service will be a great blessing to those folks as well. I want to remember also, brother. I believe Brother Gary Harrah goes back to the doctor tomorrow as a checkup for him from his recent surgery. So we certainly want to pray for Brother Gary that the Lord would give him a good report tomorrow. Certainly miss him being here on the platform with us, but we certainly pray for Brother Gary and Sister Lona that the Lord would just be mindful of Brother Gary tomorrow. Let's sing this song this morning. I love the way he leads the verses of it. I'm not alone. They like it too. So, don't you? Don't you? It's another song that ain't nothing but the truth, Brother Greg. We've never been this homesick before. This is not your home. You may live in a nice place down here, but this is not your home. If you're a believer, your home's waiting on you. Are you glad you're looking forward to going? Are you glad you've got a place to go? Give him one more hand clap of praise if you love him this morning. Hey, everybody.
There's a light in the window. The table spread in splendor. Someone standing by an open door. I can see a crystal river.
Just about home time.
I can see my father standing at the door.
This world's been a wilderness, and I'm ready for deliverance. Oh Lord, I've never been this homesick.
Family gathering, sweet faces look familiar, but no one's old, nobody's feeble anymore. Oh Lord, my lonesome heart is crying. I want to spread my wings for flying, cause I've never been so homesick before. Standing at the door.
This world's been a wilderness, and I'm ready for deliverance. Oh Lord, I've never been this homesick before. Yet see the bright light shine, it's just about home time.
See you.
Are you glad about it this morning? Amen. Brother Mike Wiley is visiting with us this morning from Brother Danny Stevens' assembly down in Florida. He's going to give us a song. Brother Aaron, Sister Lindsay, ever how they have that arranged, they're going to give us a song this morning. And while he's getting ready, let's just sing a little chorus. I'm so glad that I've crossed over the line. Ain't no going back. Ain't nothing to go back to. We've crossed over. Are you glad you've crossed over this morning? Let's sing a little bit of that chorus as they get ready to sing for you. Well, I'm so glad I crossed over the line. I'm so glad I crossed over the line. The line that separates the darkness from the light. I'm so glad I crossed over in time. Lord, now I'm so glad I crossed over the line. I'm so glad I crossed over the line. The line that separates the darkness from the light. I'm so glad I crossed over in time. God bless you. You can be seated this morning. Let me make this announcement just before Brother Mike sings for you today. This is from Brother Aaron and Sister Sarah Cobb. They want to thank you for your overwhelming show of support for our daughter's wedding. Thank you for your generosity in giving of gifts that will provide them a jump start on life. We feel so blessed to have such amazing friends and family who are willing to sacrifice their time and resources to be such a blessing to us. We love you, and may God bless each of you, Brother Aaron and Sister Sarah. Well, we kind of like them a little bit too, don't we? Amen. God bless you.
Thank you, buddy. Appreciate you. Amen. God bless you all this morning. Sorry about that. When I need a word of comfort, when I'm troubled all around, when I need a word of healing, when my body's feeling down, when I need a word of refuge, if I begin to fall, when I say Jesus, oh, his name has said it all. When I say Jesus, sweet peace, oh, it floods my troubled soul. When I say Jesus, disease and sickness has got to let me go. For there is one who's always able to deliver when I call. When I say Jesus, oh, his name has said it all. His name will calm the raging waters that threaten your very life. His name whispered makes demons tremble and sends them fleeing into the night. His name alone speaks highest praise, even angels stand in awe. When I say Jesus, oh, his name has said it all. When I say Jesus, sweet peace, oh, it floods my troubled soul. When I say Jesus, disease and sickness has got to let me go. For there is one who's always able to deliver when I call. When I say Jesus, oh, his name, it says it all. when I said, Jesus, sweet peace. Oh, it floods my troubled soul when I said, Jesus, disease and sickness has got to let me go. For there is one who's always able to deliver when I call. When I said, Jesus, oh, his name, it says it all. When I said, Jesus, oh, his name, it says it all.
Thank you. believe there's a people on the earth today that are willing to give God what He wants. Imagine what an honor it is for us in reality that God would look at us and say, "You have something I want." My goodness. If a king or a queen or a president, no matter how much you differ with them in their politics, if he looked at an old ink pen you had or some kind of old trinket or something or other that really wasn't worth a whole lot to you and say, "You mind if I have that? Could I take that to the White House?" We say, "Wow, I reckon. I mean, my goodness." But the King of Kings asks you for yourself. And we fight him nearly every day of our life. Amen. Thank God for grace is all I can say. Romans chapter 8, verse 4. I certainly want to greet you today, all the visitors that have stayed over with us for the wedding. Happy to have you with us today as well. I'm going to speak to you again today on an overcomer in the galleries. Romans chapter 8, verse 4. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. I love that verse. Let's read it again. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. Don't ever forget this. The carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. For you to think you'll actually come to a place that your flesh will ever come to that spot it loves to do everything God says, forget it. Forget it. The thing you want to do is bring it subject. Subjection is the whole thing. You'll never be able to change the unregenerate part of you to make it love God's Word and His principles. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Now let me read the meaning of the word that we've been looking at for a couple services on bipolar. And I know some of you guests are thinking, "Oh my Lord, what in the world?" Well, I'm going to read about you if you're saved, because you're saved, you're bipolar. Spiritually bipolar. Having or marked by two mutually repellent forces or diametrically opposed natures or views. And then the meaning of the word diametrically is completely opposed, being at opposite extremes. I thank God I'm that way. Because there's a time in my life, all of me agreed. That's been a long time ago, but there was a time in my life that all of me agreed. And all of me was lost. But I'm saved today. Which puts me at extreme opposites. And we'd like to be remembered as we pray today before the Lord. Let's bow our heads if you would. Lord Jesus, we count it such an honor to be able to once again gather here, Father, in your presence, under the auspices of the Word of God for this hour. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for everyone that you're present, the visitors that are in our gates, and those that are streaming the services, Lord. We pray that you'd be mindful of them as well, and the podcasts that'll be later posted. Lord, I pray that there'll be something out of this service today that will be said or done that will be a help and encouragement and strength to your people. We're living in a time of great trouble and turmoil. Our nation is in such turmoil politically, and constant things going on week by week, day by day. Lord, there's lots of things that are happening in families and homes and all types of trouble everywhere. But we're so grateful that we have peace in you. And Lord, no doubt there's many people that are sitting here today that if they've come to this service and they brought burdens and difficulties and they don't know what they're going to do tomorrow, they don't know what to do about certain decisions, but I pray that you would help them. We know part of the attributes of being a children is that we have right to be led of the Spirit of God. And as many as are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. So may you speak to us today. Help me to be able to get out of the way, Lord. I've studied. I've applied myself. I've done everything that I know to do. And at best, I'm a failure to begin with because I'm a human. But there's a part in me, Lord, that is a part of you, which is the gift that you place there. And if the anointing can move on that gift, and it'll move me over enough to where the gift can become responsive to the Spirit of God. My gift is not a perfect gift. It's not a 100% gift. If it was, then I would be able to move out of the way totally 100%, and you'd be able to speak through me. But there's been only one of those on the earth, and that was the Lord Jesus. So whatever my gift is, 75, 25, 65, 35, 55, 45, whatever it is, I pray that you'd help me to be able to surrender to that, that you can speak through me today the words of life that'll encourage and help your children. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, saints. You may be seated. These terms might seem quite strange to people that would not understand spiritual principles of God, that a man would speak as if though there are people in the earth who are not after the flesh. We know that whenever you use the word flesh in the New Testament, one of the main words that is used is the Greek word sarx, S-A-R-X. And it has reference not only to the essential unregenerate part of the body, but it also means, as we'll find here, carnal-minded as well. So it's not a definite reference to this flesh part here. The same with the body of sin in Romans chapter 7. You see Paul making reference to the body of sin also in chapter 8, also references it in chapter 6, also in 2 Corinthians. And yet it would seem as if though that he's talking again about the human body, but it is more than just the flesh alone. Here, whenever he addresses this in verse 5, he says, they that are after the flesh. The word here, kata, which means according to or toward or along, is the word after. So those that are according to the flesh. He's basically speaking of the unregenerate. Those that have not yet been born again. Their mind, their soul, their spirit is unconverted. So they are still identified in what Paul would classify as being after the flesh. They that are after the flesh do mind, which is phroneo, which means that you cater to or you give adherence to. So if you're after the flesh, you do mind the things of the flesh. But they that are after or according to the Spirit, which means that you have had a new birth. Something has changed you. And then it puts you to where you're not after the flesh, but you're after the Spirit. So then you want to mind the things of the Spirit of God. Now this is not your human spirit, but it is actually the Spirit of God. Listen to this all the days of our life. Brother Brim says, America is one of the greatest deceived nations and more bondage than any place I know of. They're worse in bondage than communism could put them in. Communism can only hurt the body, but they can only hurt, put the body in bondage. But when the devil comes in, he puts the soul in bondage. And notice this, man is a slave. America is a bunch of slaves. You may, listen to this, you may be a slave to pride. You may walk up and down the streets and go through every store and every fashion that you can see on through the television and go from store to store trying to buy something. You become a slave to it. You know how it is that people, my, a certain game comes out at Christmas time, people will camp out 2 or 3 days at a Best Buy or a Sears or whatever more to get that certain thing for their child. What is it? It's a bondage. It is a slavery. People can be bound to slavery to their pride. Notice this, he said you become a slave to it. You become a slave to your dressing. You become a slave to your money. That's the only thing that you think of is to make money. Grab and put it up here. If you do that, you're a slave. So you can become a slave to pride, a slave to fashion, a slave to money. Actually, it goes on to say that you can become a slave to your church or a slave to religion. I don't want you to misunderstand me, but I'm convinced there's lots of folks around this message that's nothing but slaves to the content of the message itself. They've never fell in love with the God of the message, but it's just, the quoting of the chapters and the verses and so on, but they're a slave to that alone. As far as really being in love with the God of the message, they're not. Notice this again. He says, what ought our conduct to be? Not like the world, but we should act like sons and daughters of God. Conduct ourselves like king's children, not slaves of fashions and slaves of passion and slaves of pride. And we should be sons and daughters of God and act like it. And conduct ourselves, oh my, that way let our conversations and everything be seasoned with God's Spirit. Now they that are after the flesh, they are going to mind the things of the flesh. So it will be everything that is contained in the order of cosmos, which is the world order and the world system. As we looked at it last night, when people think of the world, a lot of folks think of smoking and drinking and running around and all that, but there's so much more to being worldly than having your hair cut, sisters, or you men wearing necklaces. You know, a person could have really long hair and have a great old big long tongue to match it. They're still worldly, because that within itself is not of the Holy Ghost. It is of the devil. And a person could have long hair and they could dress godly and decent, but with that would come a spiritual pride. Brother Branham, as a matter of fact, mentions it this way in 1963, that you sisters go to looking at yourself and you see your hair growing out long and it looks really, really nice. And he said, if you're not careful, then that'll kind of turn on you. Isn't it amazing something that the Word turns us to do, and the devil will turn it right around and try to use it against us. We have a message like has never been on the face of the earth. It is a message with so much divine vindication, so many great truths that has been restored in the last day. But if we don't watch, there will be a spiritual pride that will come to those of us around the message, and we will find ourselves looking down on everybody but us. And then if you're not careful, you'll hone it on in closer and closer to it'll be your church and your family and you and your wife and this and that and the other. And before long, you're eat up a spiritual pride. Oh my, may God help us. Pride is not what we want. It is humility that we want. That's what brings us closer to God. Now, but that is the things that are pertaining to the flesh, and that is those who live after the flesh. But Paul says they that are after the Spirit, they're going to mind the things of the Spirit. Now, this is the attributes of the kingdom of God. We know that there's two great kingdoms that are fighting today in the world, the premise of the world, and that is the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan. Both of them are invisible, yet they are made manifest in the realm of tangibility in the sense of being able to impress those who are under the power of the domain of that kingdom. Satan is the king of the cosmos, but God is the king of eternity. And Satan claims this world, and truly it is his now, but it's not going to be his for very much longer. And he contains the majority of the populace that is on the face of the earth, and most of the politics is his. Most of the things of the world belong to him. But God is claiming those of his that are born again by his Spirit, and they are the ones who do mind the things of the Spirit of God. Notice it is capital S-P-I-R-I-T, so it is not your human spirit, but it is the Spirit of God. Notice again in verse 6, Paul says, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So it is the sense or the inclination to follow the carnal mind. Now this is the same Greek word that is used for the word flesh. So it is carnal or sensual or unconverted, which is the same reference as we would say after the flesh. So the carnal mind refers to that which is unconverted. Now to be carnal is people say, oh my goodness, I got around so-and-so-and-so, and they're talking about a recipe on how to make a cake. And so-and-so was talking about, you know, that they went over here to this place. Some folks in their mind, they say, in order to be spiritually minded, you got to constantly be quoting Scripture, and you got to constantly be quoting the prophet. Well, the prophet never constantly quoted himself.
The prophet talked about hunting and fishing, and he was going out to Southgate, California in 1962, and he told the people he was going to go tour the Weatherby factory, and he told the saints there that there's a Disney thing out there, and he said, if you want to come and bring your children, go on. Now, there's an element of people around the message that feel like that you have to constantly be talking about the word. A real child of God, everything they do is based around the word anyway. So no matter what they do, and they're constantly wanting to be led of the Spirit of God, that they're not caught in any type of activity or going anywhere that the Spirit of God might not want them to go. And yet at the same time, there's an element that's so carnal, they feel like they can do anything they want to do. Oh, for the great balance, for the saints of God to be able to still live in this world and be identified as a human, as an American or a German or whatever more, but mainly being identified as children of God that have been regenerated by a new birth. Do we love to eat? I say most of us can say amen to that. From the size of us, you can pretty well tell we like to eat. We certain things we like to drink, places that we like to go. Is that within itself wrong? Not unless you allow it to be wrong. So there is the natural appetite, but that is not what Paul is referring to and following after the flesh. Now, he differentiates between the carnal-minded aspect and actually ministering to the needs of the body. And there are things that we must do as far as taking time in order to build and establish relationships with one another. There will be times that you'll have to go visit some of your family and friends that aren't saved, that aren't Christians. And you might have to forfeit, you know, being in church one weekend or something like that. And you have to go do it. Is it as spiritual as what you would got in church? Probably not. But it is part of being a human being. It is part of establishing relationships and having friendships that are ongoing. Well, praise the Lord. Don't sit there and look at me like I'm from another world, even though I am. Paul even referred to it in the book of Corinthians of a married woman, how that she would cater to the things, you know, in a different sense than the unmarried because she is married. And it's the same way with a married man, that man loves his wife so much. I mean, you know, Jesus don't want a Valentine present. I guarantee you one thing, you won't be buying Jesus nothing for Valentine's Day. But if you want to be on good terms of your wife, you might ought to consider it. You know, is there things wrong with that? Not unless you make an idol out of it. It's the same way with many natural things of life. But the thing is being able to balance it all in our life. You understand what I'm saying? Now, those that mind the things of the flesh are those that are truly still born after the flesh and not been converted. Notice he says, to be carnally minded or worldly minded, as we might better relate to it, is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So to follow the inclination of the flesh or the propensities which still remain in the flesh after the new birth is to be carnally minded. And you put flesh first all the time. Put it before God, put it before prayer, put it before church. Everything in your life is basically based upon pleasure and fun and excitement and joy. You need the Holy Ghost. That's right. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. Only those who are truly born again are those that are spiritually alive today. Now, in this building today, no doubt there are people that are spiritually dead. They are alive physically, but they are spiritually dead in the sense that they've not been converted. And those that are truly alive are those that are born of the Spirit of God. Now, will they go to some of the same places? You may see some of the same folks that are spiritually dead and spiritually alive at the same restaurant after church. Some of them might go to some little ball game with their grandkids or something like that. You might see them there. And you might see them, you know, at different places. You might see them in a shower over here at the fellowship hall. You might run into them at Walmart. So some of the places they will go will be the same. Some of them will not, because a born-again child of God draws a line on things they will do and places they will go. But what you find is many times there are those that is as carnal as they can be, but they think they are spiritual because they're constantly criticizing everybody else for doing things that they don't think they should do. So they deem themselves more spiritual and put themselves on a spiritual elevator to be able to judge other people, even though they may not have no scripture against it or any quotes against it, but they think it's wrong. Well, God never gave you to me to be my guide and conscience. God gave me the Word and the Holy Ghost. Well, I don't think God will. I don't bring me the quotes and bring me the scriptures, and I'll certainly look at it, but I'm not going to follow you. Sorry. You know, you realize now that Paul, and he's dealing with this, watch how he brings it on down, the same thought into verse 7. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. Look at the Greek word, which is sarx, which is flesh. The sensuous nature of man, the animal nature, with cravings which incite to sin. The physical nature of man as subject to suffering. Now, even though that the English translators, when they got ready to write this out, they did not use the same English word, but the Greek word is exactly the same as flesh. Yet in our minds, you can see why in our language, it would not make any sense for them to write flesh in every place. So they would use mind here and flesh there. And yet the same concept is true in that Paul says, because the carnal mind, so you can imagine it would have been kind of confusing to the English language to say the flesh mind. So they chose the word carnal, unregenerate, not born again, in order to contrast what the person is that has the Holy Ghost. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. It is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Oh, you say, Brother Donnie, are you saying that certain people, the people that have the Holy Ghost, still have to deal with that carnal thing? Is that what you're trying to say? I'm not trying to say it at all. I'm saying it because there's a part of you that never got the Holy Ghost. Your soul got it, but your spirit didn't get it necessarily, and neither does your body have it, neither does that carnal mind, that part which is left unconverted, and that is the part that we deal with every day of our life. But friend, what a great thing. Let me sound a trumpet to you today. There's a group of people on the earth that are more than conquerors. They are going to bring that carnal mind subject to the Word. Right? Notice in verse 8, so they then that are in the flesh cannot please God. How many is in the flesh today? Now you said it depends on how I asked that question. Some of y'all didn't raise your hand because you weren't sure. Well, in one way I could ask the question, say, how many of us is in the flesh? Truthfully, all of us could raise our hands. Another way I would ask the very same question, and it would not be right for you to raise your hand. Because even though you're in the embodiment of this body here, you are not being motivated or led by the flesh, the sarx, the sensual nature that is unconverted. Now watch, he says, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. This is why when we were lost, it was totally impossible for us to please the Lord. And it's the same then if we constantly cater to the flesh and the things of the flesh. In verse 9, but ye are not in the flesh. Now you see, in the sense of the way that Paul asked this, he was saying that you are not any longer left in the flesh, in the spot of being regenerate now that you're born again. You're no longer left in this prison house. You have been delivered in your soul. Yet the part of you, of course, that's not saved is still there. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Now this is a very peculiar way in the way that Paul addresses this by saying the Spirit of Christ. Only found two times in the New Testament. Paul uses it once. Peter uses it once. And it, of course, Christos is the anointed one or the Messiah. So it is the anointed word. Most of the time Paul would say the Spirit of God, which is, of course, in a general term of the understanding of Elohim. But here he places it as Spirit of Christ, which is the Spirit of the anointed word for the day that you live in. Oh my. So being in the Spirit of Christ is more than just pointing to a historical Savior that died 2,000 years ago. And this, of course, identifies us in the revealed word of the day that we live. I'm so glad, aren't you? Notice verse 10, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now this separates, of course, from the unregenerate people of the world. Notice again in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 2. I beseech you that I may not be bold when I'm present with you, the confidence wherewith I think to be bold against some, which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Now, Paul is not denying that he is not left a mortal. He's not denying that the saints of God, which have had the Holy Ghost, are not mortal. But he's saying, even though we are in this flesh, we do not walk after the leading or the principles any longer that is in the flesh. And even when we do not war after the flesh. The flesh uses temper. The flesh uses revenge. The flesh uses anger. Now you realize that we're in a great war. You know that. Even in the message of the hour, we are in a great war on several fronts. We're on the front of those who've left the message and are attacking the message and trying to attack the credibility of the message and the prophet and the ministers who preach it and the saints who believe it. So there is a war front there. We're also in other fronts in the same message, and they are coming from internal, based upon theories and opinions and doctrines of people, of trying to get you to follow them and do whatever more. So we are in a constant warfare, and then we have the daily war front of our own individuality, by which that within us is fighting against that which is without. You understand? So we are in a constant war. It takes the Spirit of God, friends, to help us in dealing with so much war to be able to be victorious, overcoming saints. And this is the parallel to me of it all. What a great paradox it is, that how can people of God who are peacemakers constantly stay in war? I hate war. I absolutely despise war. And yet I'm one of the men that God's placed up here fighting with like all these other preachers. I wish I could be in the kitchen peeling taters, but that ain't what God gave me. God didn't give me a knife to peel taters. He gave me a sword to peel hide. Praise the Lord. Amen. But you realize that every day of our life, it is constant warfare. Now, me and my position where I'm at, I'm hearing from people all over the world constantly, daily, weekly, monthly. So you're hearing of so many things that is going on. And the approach to this aspect of war here would be a total different approach for an aspect in India or an aspect over here or over there. And it's the same in assemblies in America, and it's the same in our own walk with God. And this is such a great understanding, how that Paul is trying to get to us, that we are left in the flesh. But God does not want us to fight our battles after the flesh. That we take our reasoning, our understanding, our everything that we are, and we try to war after the flesh. He goes on the next verse to tell us, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down of every imagination, all those things that exalt itself above the throne of God. Now in this warfare, it takes the Spirit of God to help us if we're ever going to win. But I believe with all of my heart, I'm looking at some winners today. I believe that the grace of God, which has begun this work in you, will perform it or complete it to the day of Christ. But it will not be you doing it. It will be Him absolutely filling you with His life and you surrendering to that power and allowing Him to overcome through you. Oh, hallelujah. Now, notice this, the very reason that it's important for us to see the difference in the flesh and our soul walk with God is that the Scripture tells us in the New Testament that no flesh can glory in the presence of God. You believe that? Are you sure? So you believe no flesh, no flesh can glory in the presence of God. You're afraid to say? Okay. All right, listen to this. This is quite astounding. Brother Evans said, there's no flesh can glory before God. If anybody could have gloried, it would have been Jesus. But he said, it's not me that doeth the works, it's my Father that dwelleth in me. He doeth the works. Is that right? Everybody all right with that one? I used the mild one first. Notice again, he says, no man, not even Christ's flesh, could glory in the presence of God. Because no flesh can glory
but the Spirit always. Oh, my goodness. Good thing I didn't use that one first, huh? Now, why in the world then? Because the flesh itself is where sin came into. So no flesh, not even the flesh of Christ, could glory in the presence of God. Can't you see why that is so repulsive to the Spirit of God when we go to glorifying our flesh and honoring our flesh and making an idol out of our flesh? The flesh of Jesus couldn't even glory in the presence of God. What about your old stinking flesh? Or my old stinking flesh? Can't you see how the mind of God, the mind of Christ, wants us to subject this flesh? When you go to idolizing men, when people around the message idolize William Branham's flesh, that is contrary to the Word of God. When you make an idol out of Brother Branham, you're breaking the commandment of the Lord. No flesh can be glorified before God in the sense of human glorification. This is what the change is going to do to us. Oh, children, can you imagine what a day it'll be when the chain sweeps over the earth and thousands or millions or however many it's going to be, and all of a sudden the glory of God will come into our bodies and our bodies will be changed and we'll be able to stand before God, finally glorified flesh. Glorified flesh! Finally the commandment of God has accomplished what He wanted. Not only a changed soul, not only a saved man, but glorified flesh. Oh my, no man, not even Christ's flesh could glory in the presence of God, because no flesh can glory, but the Spirit always. Again, he says, God did not make the flesh of His own Son glorious. Come on now, Jesus onlys. Take your hands and do this. It helps you to swallow it down. But you see, what did God do after His resurrection? Glorified His flesh. After the resurrection. He could not have done this. He don't even on the Mount of Transfiguration. It was a temporal glorification that only lasts for a few moments. It appeared and it was gone. But when He raised from the dead, no wonder Jesus said, "Be of good cheer, I've overcome the world." When we look and see Jesus appearing in a glorified body, that ought to make every one of us want to take a turn around this building about 90 miles an hour to know that that is the head of the new race. For our first time, we see a glorified human body. It means more is on the way. Oh, thank you, Lord. God did not make the flesh of His own Son glorious. No flesh can glory in His sight. Neither will He divide His praises and glory with anything. Oh my. God alone deserves your praise. Again, Paul in Romans 8:12 says, "Therefore, brethren, we are not debtors to the flesh to live after the flesh." Now your bodies, your old flesh, sarks, ain't going to enjoy this scripture when I get done with it. Because your sarks, your carnal mind, wants you to think you have this lifelong mortgage. And you have these big, long, enormous payments that are set up. And you owe it to your flesh. Watch Paul eradicate the mortgage and free you from the mortgage from your soul to your body. "Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, one who owes another." A debtor, one held by some obligation, bound by some duty. God paid off my mortgage to my carnal nature. I am not owing to that anymore. Let my carnal thing, let this old flesh that wants to try to control me, let it bring up the payment. Oh, let it show me the payment bill. Let it show me the mortgage payment. I'll come right back to that and show that the title deed paid in clear. I am not a debtor to you, flesh. I am
am not a debtor. I will feed you. I will give you water. I will nurture you. I will do all that sort of thing. But you are not my master. You do not hold a lien against my soul. Praise God. For if ye live after the flesh, you shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Look at mortify. Put to death. Cause to be put to death. Kill. Oh my goodness. To make, to die. You see, it's not enough to just forbear the actions of sin. I don't smoke, I don't drink, I don't do this and the other. It's not enough for you to set your will against your flesh. I'm making up my mind. I ain't doing this no more. I ain't doing that. I'll tell you one thing. No, that's not it. It's you surrendering your will to the Spirit of God. Because if you can do it, you'll still brag about it. I'll tell you one thing. I heard Brother Donnie preach on this and I quit it. I quit this and I started doing better. You see what you're doing? You're taking pride in your flesh and you're bragging in what you've done. Galatians 5:16 says this, I say then, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now this can only be addressed to Holy Ghost filled saints. Because you can't expect sinners to walk in the Spirit. So you mean Holy Ghost filled saints walking in the Spirit. And they can still have flesh things there that wants things that ain't right with God. Walk in the Spirit and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit. And the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to the other. So that ye cannot do the things that you would. Now remember what the carnal nature, as we looked at it last night, the control tower and the soul, the control tower and the body, both of them calling out to the needs of the other. And whenever something in your soul calls out to be closer to God, when you come to church, and remember what the prophet said, we looked at it last night, question answers 1964, that carnal nature will always be there and it's going to bother you. And he also said that it's there to hinder you, not control you, not be your boss, not be your master, but hinder you. Every time you come to the house of God, he's there to try to hinder you. You ever make up in your mind you're going to pray or read your Bible or take some secluded time with God, everything in the world will come up. Your 32nd grandma and your 87th 13th cousin and everybody and their brother calls you on the phone or sends you a text and do this. Why? Because the devil don't want you having that time with God. And the old flesh caters to, I've got to take this call, I've got to answer this text, I've got to answer this email. What is it? Your flesh hinders you. And I don't blame the devil. If I was the devil, and I knew what I'm fixing to read you now in this quote, if I knew that laid in people, I'd do everything in my power to stop them. The power that'll raise us up, he says. Do you all believe this? The power that'll raise us up is right in us now. We are in heavenly places. We're now in the power of the resurrection. If there wasn't a law to that, sons and daughters of God would create them a world and go out there and live a private life on it. You have the power in you to do it. If you've got a shadow of the power of God in you, you've got power to do it. Every one of you sons and daughters of God sitting here today, if you've got the baptism of the Holy Ghost, that's just a shadow of the power of God in you. The power to create your own world. Not just another planet, your own world. A universe of suns and moons and stars and horizontal rainbows. And all of this lays in you.
but it's controlled by law.
Notice this, he says, God is omnipotent. You see what I mean? The power that's in you. You could speak a world into existence and go live on it. Hallelujah, there you are. That's the power that's in the church now. Look at this year, 1961. The seals ain't been opened. The rapture ain't been preached. Christ the mystery ain't been preached. Lord have mercy, children. If it was there then, what's in us now? As the word further unfolds itself, it reveals more the power of God. Certainly. Oh my. That's what powers in the church now. But it is controlled by a law. And that law is not a bunch of keeping of commandments. It's a law of faith. Jesus said all things are possible to them that believe. If you can believe it. Oh my. Whatever God will lead your soul to believe, that is yours.
Notice the key to that quote. It's not what you want. It's not what you think. But what God will lead your soul to believe. That's what a believer is anyway. The faith of God in you. It ain't your faith.
Whatever God will lead your soul. Not your flesh. Not your spirit. Not your mind. Whatever God will lead your soul to believe. That is yours. Every place the soles of your foot can set upon by faith, God gives it to you. Amen. It's yours. You possess it. If you can find the key to this law of faith, that opens it to you. The power that'll change my body is in me today. As a matter of fact, the prophet of God says you'll call your own body from the dust of the earth one day. You believe that? Oh God, help us to believe it, Lord.
If you're a son and daughter of God, you're a daughter of God, then that never leaves you.
It's with you all the time. But listen to this. But your faith gets away from it. It never leaves you. But your faith will get away from it. But it's still there.
Oh, thank God. How many times has my faith left it, but it ain't never left me?
How many times has your faith left, well, I don't know anymore, I don't believe anymore, I'm not sure what I believe anymore. Oh, but when your faith leaves it, it's still there. Thanks be to God, and one day it will line up with the law of God, and it will cause, hallelujah, your body to be changed back to a young man or a young woman, and not only changed, but glorified.
Your faith gets away from it, but it's still there. Hallelujah. When you're saved, God gives you faith. Now listen to this. God gives you faith to rise from the muck of the earth. Your faith overcomes the things of the world. And what is your faith?
Your faith is that act that God has did in you to make you a son of God. What is your faith? It's an act of God. Get out of my way, devil. Amen. It wasn't my mama that gave it to me. It wasn't my daddy that gave it to me. It wasn't you message folks that gave it to me. It was God who gave it to me. It was God who gave me that act of faith to make me a believer. That's why I'm a believer. I'm not a believer because I decided I wanted to be.
Your faith is that act that God has did in you to make you a son of God. You quit your lying, you quit your stealing, you quit your drinking because your faith rise up above it. Amen. If you don't do it, you don't have any faith. And by faith are you saved. And that's through grace. As much as your faith will be released, that's how much power you can have.
Now, as much as your faith can be released, that's how much power you can have. That's how much the law can be able to correlate with the promises of God and bring it to pass in your mind, in your life, in your body, in your home, in your family.
Oh, thank you, Jesus. Amen. As much as your faith will be released, that's how much power you can have.
Because in you dwells the power to make heavens, heavens, and earth. So what is a headache compared to that? What is cancer? You're home facing a divorce, whatever more going on in your home. What's that compared to the power that's in you? But Satan, our enemy, oh, he wants to huff and puff and blow your house down. He wants to try to tell you, you can't do this and you ain't got nothing, this and other, and your face will leave it. But thank God it's still there. And then through preaching of the word, God, what's God want to do? You understand what preaching's all about? It's to bring your faith back to it. That's what it's all about. To bring your faith to it, to look at impossible situations and know that my God is greater than my situation. My God is bigger than the condition of my children. My God is bigger than my broken heart. He's bigger than my bank account. He's bigger than all the things I'm going through. And if my faith can get back to it, it will deliver me. Amen. If my faith can get back to it, it will bring it to pass. Whether I feed it or whether I don't, whether I shout or whether I don't, that has nothing to do with it. I love this in perfect faith. When the word of God comes in you, it's made manifest, for you are a believer, see? And a believer is the face of God that moves in you. Now we've got believers around this message that aren't this. They're message believers, maybe. They're Christian believers, maybe. Religious believers, maybe. But a real believer is the faith of God. Move heaven, move hell, move the church, move whatever, you won't move them. Why? It's the face of God. Don't you understand why you are a believer? If you are this, God gave you faith to believe Him. Come on, friends. Many of us wasn't even looking for God know how. We like being in sin. We enjoy being in the world. Amen. It was not you looking for God. It was God looking for you. Because He had your name wrote down in His book of life. And nothing could keep you away from Him. Notice in Galatians chapter 5, verse 24, Paul says, they that are Christ's. Now, this is not plural, but possessive. They that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If you notice, Paul doesn't say Jesus did it, but they did it. They that are Christ hath crucified the flesh. The word crucified, storuo, to stake or drive down with stakes. To be crucified does not mean instant death. I was hoping we'd get here this morning. I wasn't quite sure, but I was hoping we would. Let's move on down past a couple of scriptures there, and let's jump to the history of crucifixion there. Justin says crucifixion was in the use among the Egyptians. Now we believe that there's two crucifixions for us. The nature of ours was crucified with Christ on His cross. By the new birth, we have died and we are a new man. But there is another, slower, more painful crucifixion. That is the one that you must start. And that is that you begin crucifying yourself, your flesh. Let me read you just a little bit of history on this about the crucifixion. Crucifixion was in use among the Egyptians, the Carthaginians, the Persians, the Assyrians, the Scythians, Indians, Germans, and from the earliest times among the Greeks and Romans. It was unanimously considered the most horrible form of death. Among the Romans, the degradation was also part of the affliction, and the punishment, if applied to freemen, was only used in the case of the vilest criminals. A Roman citizen could not be crucified.
They were exempt from it.
Now remember, Paul uses this term that they that are Christ, which belong to Christ, that they have started the session of crucifixion. But crucifixion can last for days. Well, say, I'm crucified, I'm dead. Crucified and death don't mean exactly the same thing. Notice the one being crucified was stripped naked of all of his clothes. Then followed the most awful moment of all. He was laid down upon the implement of torture. His arms were stretched along the crossbeams, and at the center of the open palms, the point of a huge iron nail was placed, which by the blow of a mallet was driven home into the wood. Now remember, this in your soul happened at Christ's crucifixion was him. Then you accept it years and years later, and your nature dies. But there's also a crucifixion of your flesh. Now this is strange because it's you crucifying you. It's you nailing your body. Now not just necessarily this. The unregenerate part. Remember, this is neutral. This can cry. The Spirit of God can move on me. And my body being neutral, my body can cry. I can get alone and go to praying with God and go to talking in languages. You all can too. Why? Because my body is neutral. My body, submissive to the control of my soul, can raise my hands in the presence of God and worship Him. And I can feel the anointing running down my body. Why? Because it's neutral. After church, somebody could walk up and say something I didn't like, and I could feel anger or hurt or whatever more in the same body. Why? Because it is neutral. So why do I want to crucify? Do I want to take a nail, hammer nails, and hang my literal body on a cross? That ain't going to help anything. I got to preach Wednesday night. It ain't going to help a thing. It is not so much this body. It's the unregenerate part that I'm left in with that must be crucified. Can I go on? Notice now, then through either foot separately or possibly through both together, they were placed one over the other. Another huge nail tore its way through the quivering flesh. Whether the sufferer was bound to the cross, we do not know. But to prevent the hands and feet from being torn away by the weight of the body, which could not rest upon anything before great wounds, there was about the center of the cross a wooden projection strong enough to support, at least in part, a human body, which soon became a weight of human agony. So let's remove from your mind this morning the picture of Jesus hanging on the cross. And let's put us up there. We have now taken the hammer and nails and drove through our hands. We have set one foot upon the other and we've drove it through between the bones and our feet. Our body is quivering and shaking. The pain is shooting up our arms, up our legs. Our body twisting in contorted positions. The sweat is just bursting out of our head and all around. We're nervous, we're shaking, we're quivering. And they're fixing to set us up in the hole. So they pick up the cross and they... And when they do, our hands tire more than our feet. So we've got this little projection up around the middle edge of the cross where we'd be able to kind of set down just enough to break all this weight. How long is this going to be? How long will this endure? I can't take it anymore. I can't take it. This pain, how long? I want to die immediately. Oh, get me out of this agony. Oh, but you see, part of the crucifixion was always four soldiers assigned to the crucifixion. Two in front, two behind. Lest somebody comes and feels so sorry for you and takes you down. So the guards are placed there to watch you. To make sure you die. Oh my. Lord Jesus. Then the accursed tree with its living human burden was slowly heaved up and the end firmly fixed in a hole in the ground. The feet were but a little raised from the earth. The victim was in full reach of every hand that might choose to strike it. So you're not way up as you see Jesus hanging way up on a cross. Historically, that isn't true. That's Hollywood. But you would be right down nearly on the earth. Right down on top of your home. Earthly home. So your school friends can come by and smack you. And your boss can kick you. And whoever more that don't like you can say things to you to get you riled up on the cross. Oh, Brother Donnie, I would think anybody on a cross like that, they wouldn't have nothing bad to say. Oh, you've not read your scriptures close enough. You see, the thief on the left-hand side spoke to the Son of God and said, if you're the Son of God, why don't you deliver us and deliver yourself? You see, him being on a cross never done much for him, did it? So here you are, suspended now. You're right above the earth where everybody can come by and see you, and you're naked. Your body is jerking and quivering. Your lips are swollen. You're so thirsty. You can't hardly stand it. And you have done this to yourself. Because you love God more than you love anything else in this world. You can see, my friends, the elect are so few. I realize I'm preaching to hundreds and probably thousands on the internet, but I wonder how many will ever be able to do this and carry it through metaphorically in the sense of the way that I'm preaching it to you. A death by crucifixion seems to have included all the pain, the death of the half of the horrible and ghastly, dizziness, cramp, thirst, starvation, sleeplessness, traumatic fever, tetanus, publicity of shame, long continuance of torment, horror of anticipation, mortification of unattended wounds. And Paul would dare use this word that we are to mortify. Praise the Lord. I can't do it, Brother Don. I can't do it. You can if you're a seed of God. And if you'll do it, you'll lead your body to a resurrection. Oh my. They that are Christ have crucified the affections and the lusts thereof. So here you hang on this cross, daily in pain, daily tormented. Daily robbed of sin's licentious pleasures. Don't feel sorry for your old flesh. Crucified. May either your soul will crucify your flesh or your flesh will crucify your soul. One of you is going to be crucified. Do you understand what people of this age are doing? They are crucifying their soul. It's not their body, it's not their old flesh hanging on a cross. It is their soul. They love the world so much. They love the world's music, the world's fashion, the world's dress. They cannot live this word. So they crucify their soul. All intensified just up to the point where they can be endured at all, but not stopping just short of that point, which should give the sufferer the relief of unconsciousness. So the hands are throbbing, the feet are throbbing, everything on there is hurting, and you're so close. You're just, oh, if I could only pass out. Oh,
If I could only go unconscious, if I... And you're so close.
It's moving on you, and you can feel it. You can sense it, but you can't go on into it.
Oh, Brother Don, if I could only give up my pride, if I could only do it all today.
It ain't going to happen all today. It's crucifixion. How long would it take? All your life.
But the problem is, we put ourselves up, then take ourselves down, and rush us to the ER. Then we get shots, we get dehydrated, we get everything feeling real good again on the flesh, and then we hear a sermon like this, glory to God, I'm dragging out the hammer. Oh God, I'm low. And you'll do it till about next week. And then you'll go to here and you say, oh, I miss this. Oh, I miss that so bad. Oh, I'm so thirsty for this, that, and other. And then you feel sorry for yourself. Then you got the crowbar and you go to prying out the nails out of your hands and out of your feet. Come on down. I'm so sorry. Forgive me. I don't know what I was doing. Every time I hear him preach, I do stuff like that. And then you hear another sermon. Then you tack it back up on the tree. I know I need to quit this. It ain't right. It ain't right. Flesh, I'm killing you once and for all. And your body go to squealing like a stuck pig. Have mercy. Have mercy. Oh, have mercy. How can you be full of the love of God? Oh, this is awful. Oh, this is awful.
Here you go. Get that crowbar out of your toolbox and throw that thing in the river. Your flesh knows how to use it against you.
The unnatural position made every movement painful. The lacerated veins and crushed tendons throbbed with incessant anguish. The wounds inflamed by exposure. Gradually gangrene. The arteries, especially of the head and the stomach, became swollen and oppressed with surcharged blood. And while each variety of misery went on gradually increasing, there was added to them the intolerable pang of a burning, raging thirst. Thirst. Thirst for your music. Thirst for something that ain't right. Thirst for movies that you shouldn't be watching. A thirst for this and that. It just eats on you. Oh, I've got to have it. I've got to have it. So you take it down off to the cross. The people at the ER know you by name. Well, here he comes again with himself.
I don't know what it was about it with me.
Where do you go to church at? You need to change churches. That's the problem. It's a preacher problem. Preacher don't preach that. Well, of course not. He don't live this way himself. Well, I've been going to church all of my life and I ain't never heard a preacher preach like that. I've never brought myself to the ER because I never put myself through such stuff. We can do what we want to do, live any way we want to live, and we're all going to heaven. You're going to hell with that attitude. If we're going this way, we've got to come the way of the crucifixion.
Oh, Lord Jesus. The crucified was watched, according to custom, by a party of four soldiers whose express office was to prevent the stealing of the body. This was necessary from the lingering character of the death, which sometimes did not occur even for 3 days and was at last the result of gradual benumbing and starvation. But for this guard, the persons might have been taken down and recovered. And was actually done in the case of three friends of Josephus. Only one survived in spite of the care. Fracture of the legs was especially adopted by the Jews to hasten death. Now read the scripture with me. Luke 23:33. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him. But he didn't die as soon as they crucified him. It kept going on and on and on. And may I say it to you today,
so is it with our crucifixion. Oh, but it's not all sadness and sorrow. If you can leave yourself up there and keep yourself subject, one day you will lead yourself to a glorified stage. Amen. They that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. Let's bow our heads. Oh my. Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus. I know, friends, this is it's not a very pleasant sounding thing. Maybe you come to church today hoping and thinking it would be more of a rejoicing type service. But maybe this part will lead us to a spot where we can truly rejoice. That we can be able to crucify ourselves. Not up and down and up and down and put yourself up on the cross and take yourself off and up and off again. But leave yourself there. Oh, it'll be hard. The screams, the pain, the anguish. Oh my. Will you feel it? Will it bother you? It will. But the result will be wonderful. Wonderful. And maybe we'd like to be remembered today before the Lord. Just raise your hand to God. Maybe some of you have never done this. Maybe some of you have and you've taken yourself down. Maybe some of you have done it. But you need strength to leave yourself there. Whatever your need is today. I believe for myself. I've placed myself there on that cross. My own personal cross. Over Jesus' body was the title, "This is the King of the Jews." My title is, "This is the son of Don and Betty Reagan, the enemy of my soul." I feel sorry for him sometimes. I hear his screams, his moans. I hear his groans. He don't like trouble. He don't like distress. He don't like being ridiculed and made fun of. I hear it. But I know if I can leave him there, it's the greatest thing I can do for him. Heavenly Father, as we come before you today, Lord, I pray, dear Jesus, you would help us. Lord, I know that Hollywood has made several renditions of you on the cross and the crucifixion, Jesus of Nazareth, and many different ones. Lord, most of them, when I see that, I have to fast forward it past the cross. I just can't hardly take it. I can't hardly stand it, Lord. I know it's not you, actually only a man representing you, but my mind thinks of what you went through and what you suffered. But I wonder, Lord, if it's not something even deeper that it troubles us, if we're not actually seeing ourselves as well. Oh, Lord God, help us today. We desire to be overcomers. The prophet said the thing we have to overcome is ourselves. How long have I been on this cross? For years now. For decades. For decades I've hung on this cross of self-denial. For decades people have walked by and hit me and laughed at me and made fun of me and kicked me. And Lord, for decades I've heard myself scream out, "This is not fair. This is not fair." But Lord, according to the things we can see in the events happening around us and the prophecies of the scriptures, it can't be too much longer till the coming of the Lord is at hand, right on us. What a shame, oh Lord, that we would take that man off of the cross. And in between the time we take him off and before we can put him back up again, the trump sounds and the dead in Christ rise first. And we are caught with ourselves off the cross. Only those that will be glorified are those who have been crucified. So in order to attain into the first resurrection, we must be living a crucified life. As you told John, I am he that was dead, but now I'm alive forevermore. You had already did your crucifixion. Now ours is ongoing. As we looked at it last night with Paul, having been given this thorn in the flesh, which was to buffet him, lest at any time he should be exalted above measure. So it was a constant crucifixion for Paul in denying himself. Lord Jesus, help us, Father. Lord, we, in this age that we're living, we've grown beyond our human ability in many ways to cope with things. We're not made humanly even to take all the hatred and all the bad remarks and whatever more that people can say about us as they do on social media. Years ago, people would never hear the remarks that people would say about them. But now we can hear it in a matter of days, and oh, it can be so depressing and so saddening, Lord, in our hearts. We must be running out of time. Help us, Lord Jesus, I pray. I pray for every young man, young woman, every married man, married woman. May you help us, Lord Jesus. We will not take ourselves down and rush to the ER every other day. Pump fluids back into ourselves and revitalize us. Give us strength through the cries and the begs and the moans for mercy. Grant it, I pray, Father. May we stand together. Brother M says it this way, all the days of our life, if you're a Christian, you're a slave. You're a bond slave of the Lord Jesus. There's two people of you, both spirit and body. And if you cater to the flesh, you're a slave of the devil. But if you'll crucify that soul that's in you. You'll crucify that soul that's in you. For the Bible said, the soul that sinneth, that soul shall die. And you have to crucify the flesh in order to be a bond slave in your flesh, to be a servant of Jesus Christ. So you're a slave any way you take it. You can't get away from it. So you'll crucify the flesh, or you'll crucify the soul. The crucifixion of the soul leads you to eternal separation from the presence of God. Oh God. Oh God. You love Him today, children, with all your heart. Don't you want to be this type of person, a Christian, that God can help you, that you crucify the flesh and the affections and the lust thereof? Would you turn and lay your hand on the person standing by you and let's offer a word of prayer? Maybe some of you came today with a crowbar in your hands. Maybe you already took yourself down last night before you even got here today. May God give you strength and grace. Don't pump life back into your old unconverted part. You're just prolonging your days of victory. You're prolonging the ultimate of what God wants for you. Let's pray for one another, shall we? Don't pray for yourself. They're praying for you. Heavenly Father, as we lay our hands one upon the other, there's no way for us to know, Lord Jesus, the needs in our brothers and sisters. Lord, maybe some come here today with their mind made up. They're going to quit serving you. There's no need to try it anymore. No need to press on. But Father, may you give them strength. May you give them grace, Lord. Maybe not just a young man, but maybe a middle-aged man or an older man or woman that just been thinking, I don't know if I can do it anymore. I don't know if it's worth it anymore. But may the Spirit of God give them strength. Oh, Lord Jesus, we call upon your name today. Our faith may get away from that power of God, but we're so grateful the power of God will never leave us. We call on you today for strength, Lord. We call on you for help, Father. Lord, screams of plea and mercy is hard for any of us as mortals to be able to hear. It's especially hard when it's us. It's us hearing ourselves, and we have the ability to help ourselves and to eliminate that burden of ourself of being denied, crucified, and going through this suffering. Lord Jesus, help us, I pray, Father. Oh, Lamb of God, give us strength. Give us courage. We love you today, Lord. Oh, Lord God, with all of our hearts.
We worship you, blessed God. Can we raise our hands now, saints, in the presence of the King? Oh, let him minister to you today what you have need of. Let him give you the strength that you need. Oh, hallelujah. Jesus mentioned more about our cross than he mentioned about his own. He said, unless a man will deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Jesus never told you to take up his cross. He told you to take up yours. Here's yours, my brother, sister. Here's yours. Take up your cross. Don't use it for decoration around your neck. There's one purpose of this cross, crucifixion. You have to carry your own cross to the place of the skull. Your mind, the skull, it must be resolved in your mind, the place of the skull. Bring the cross to the place of the skull and willingly commit yourself. By God's grace, I'll never take you down again. You will stay there till you die. Amen. If it takes me the rest of my life, you will die. And I will set guards around you to prohibit me from removing you from this cross. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord God. We worship you today, Lord. I know this is simple, but Lord Jesus, may it be life-changing. May it be life-changing. Grant it, I pray, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise God. Can you imagine them guards coming to Peter that day when they told him, you're up today? And they made known to Peter the manner of death he was going to face. Jesus told him, Simon, you'll be led to a spot. Some they'll come and get you one day, and they'll lead you to a place you won't want to go. And they'll bind you. When they made known to Peter, you're going to be crucified, he said, I'm not worthy to die like my Lord. Invert me. Hang me up the other way. And his guard said, we can do that. So they put him on the cross and turn him upside down. He said so he could see the world the way the world sees God, upside down. Lord Jesus, children, may God help us to endure so we can resurrect this body.
Amen.
Oh, praise the Lord Jesus. I mean, he's willing. How many is willing? Don't raise your hand if you're not willing. How many is willing? You ask for God's strength and God's mercy and God's grace. God bless you. If you want it, there's nothing that can stop you. Nothing. Oh, Donnie, I can't do it on myself. Of course you can't. He wants to help you do it. He wants to give you the courage. But he'll reward you by doing it, by glorifying your body. Amen. Let's sing something together, hey. Let's just worship him together now. Oh my. Let the presence of God that's near us now. Brother Bram said your glorified body is standing right here in the tabernacle this morning, wanting to send a surge through you like a battery, a charge. Remember, when you left, you recognized the word of God was eagle food, and you left the other thing, you heard from your theophany. What did it say, Brother Donnie? I have no idea, because it wasn't this that heard, it was my soul. But apparently they communicated on mainstream. Every now and then I need a charge, don't you? I need a charge to go through me. Isn't it amazing? Your glorified condition is right here in this church this morning. Wanting to come near you in a natural sense so you can understand it. So you can take jumper cables and latch over to your theophany and let him send a charge through you. For what you need. Amen. Grant it, Lord. I mean, needs a charge today. I sure do. Let's just sing and worship now just a bit before we go. We'll let you go and have your lunch and all that. But let's just spend a little, just a little brief time here worshiping Him. Oh, Jesus.
There's a voice calling me.
Yes, Lord.
From an old rugged tree. He whispers, draw closer to me.
Yes, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Yes, Lord.
Leave this world far behind.
Amen.
There are new heights to climb and a new place.
Amen.
In me you will find.
Let's sing it now with all of our hearts.
Whatever,
yes, Lord,
it takes,
yes, Lord,
to grow closer.
Jesus, we worship you, Lord. Oh God, may that not just be a song, may it be a prayer with an intent, Lord, that so burns in our souls. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Turn and shake somebody's hand and confess it. By God's grace, I am an overcomer. I am an overcomer. I'm not just going to be, I'm today. But I want to continue to be, and I want to be a greater one. I'm an overcomer. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Take up your
thank
cross
you, Lord Jesus.
And follow Jesus.
Amen. Oh, yes, Lord.
Take up your cross every day.
Yes, Lord.
Take up your cross.
Hallelujah.
Follow
me. Thank you, Father. God bless you. Go in the fear of God. Thank you for being here today, you visitors and you saints. May God bless you. Go in His presence till we meet again. Take up your cross. Take up your cross and follow Jesus.
Take up your cross.